Hello and welcome to the Center for Victory podcast of your best day yet. Here at Center for Victory, we're here to help unlock, reinforce, and enrich relationships through professional and personal development. My name is Zachary Del Turco. I'm an executive consultant. I'm here with Doug Smith. He's a nonprofit leader, but also owns his own company. Doug, thank you so much for being on this podcast today. I think we're going to have an awesome time. It is Labor Day weekend, yeah. Saturday, and you're here. So a special thank you. But go ahead and tell me a little bit about L3 Leadership, which is your company. You started it a couple years ago in the Pittsburgh region. What was your why behind that?
Yeah, well, before I jump into that, I just want to say, Zach, it's an honor to be here. And I'm here on a Saturday morning because I love what you and Eric and Center for Victory is doing and your heart for leaders and your heart to transform people's lives. So it's just an honor. For L3 Leadership, so my passion for leadership development started when I was 17 years old. I barely graduated high school, never thought I would amount to anything, and I had the opportunity to intern at a church where I met a youth pastor named Larry Betancourt, and he became a mentor in my life, and he was the first leader in my life to see potential in me and to tell me that I was a leader and could do great things. And he handed me a John Maxwell CD, and I love John Maxwell. I threw it in. I didn't even know what personal development was. He just said, listen to this. Well, 5 minutes in, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I transcribed the entire lesson by hand, and I felt like I was Neo in the Matrix, and I just learned Kung Fu, and I called Pastor Larry, and I said, give me everything you got. I want every lesson, and I also found out they came with notes, so I didn't have to transcribe it. But that was the start of my leadership development journey. From that day on, probably for 2 or 3 years, I would listen to 2 or 3 hours of John Maxwell lessons a night and just developed a passion for leadership and ultimately to make a difference in the lives of leaders. So I started as a young leader getting a vision for what if I could one day have a company, have conferences, etc. to add value to leaders. It's funny, as I was doing a decade review a few years ago, and I realized that the first time I had a dream for what we're doing with L3 was in 2007. However, we didn't launch L3 until 2015. And so it took me a while to actually get the courage to launch, but we launched in 2015. We have a leadership podcast. And really, the reason I started that was I would just want to do for others what Larry has done for me, what John Maxwell has done for me. Yeah. I just want to add value and transform leaders' lives. And so that's why we started L3 Leadership in 2015.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about L3 Leadership. And because a lot of people that are listening to this, I mean, they're all across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an awesome concept. You know, what was your initial kind of startup phase, and where are you guys at now?
Yep, so I kept sharing this vision for developing leaders with my wife, Laura, and I think she just finally got frustrated and said, when are you going to do something about it? And even though I didn't ask her to, she created a Facebook event and said, at the time we called it Learning to Lead. It wasn't even L3 Leadership. And it said, Learning to Lead Vision Night on Mount Washington. And she invited like 1,000 people. I'm like, I'm going to kill you.
And you knew nothing about it.
I knew nothing. Yeah, and I was so mad.
That's such a good wife, man.
Oh, I don't know if we'd be sitting here today if she didn't do that. And so we launched this leadership company, and I was around these great leaders and spending time with them. And there's a leader in Pittsburgh that I greatly admire named Reed Carpenter. And in the 70s, he transformed so many leaders' lives in our city, and I really believe so many of the nonprofits and ministries that exist in Pittsburgh today are a result of this man pouring into leaders. Mm-hmm. So I just asked him, I said, hey, how did you make such a difference? What I feel called to do that for my generation, what could I do to do that? And he just said, gather people, and again, if you're listening to this, I'm a person of faith, and he was as well, and he said, just start gathering people and see what the Holy Spirit does. And so we gathered people in Mount Washington. You were there, actually, the first night. So
I was a couple minutes late, but
hey, you made it. You're in the picture, baby. I'll always point back to that picture. But we gathered leaders, and I just said, listen, we're going to develop and connect leaders for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And we believe that if we'll connect and develop them and follow them on their leadership journeys and teach them how to lead with our values, then we're going to transform our city by developing leaders in all different sectors all throughout our city. And so that was the vision, and we started off just by doing monthly events where we have speakers from the city come in and teach leadership. And then we launched a single mastermind group at the time, and we run mastermind groups to this day, and I believe every leader needs to be in a mastermind group. And then fast forward just a few years, we just launched our first L3 one-day leadership conference last year, and it was a great success.
It was awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be having another one this March. So those are a few of the things that we do, and we're really getting excited for our future. We're going to be launching what we're calling L3 3.0 in, in January.
That's incredible. And I want to kind of take a pause because this is where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people, maybe they're sitting at that place where you had a vision, but you were too scared to do something with it. Or you had a vision, but you're like, can I really do that? And you needed somebody to come in your life and say, like your wife, Laura, to say, hey, by the way, we have a meeting next week on top of Mount Washington and you're leading it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your leadership journey because I think it's going to help some people here because you really do. I love your story. We've known each other. I mean, you have spoken into my life. I even just remember the times that you've invested in me and I want to thank you for that. But, you know, you share your story and it wasn't like you were the star athlete or you were the star leader. You were in all the classes, the acceleration classes. Like, tell me your story, because I think it can really benefit a lot of our people who are listening.
Sure. So, I guess to summarize my story, in eighth grade, two things happened to me. One, a friend invited me to a Christian camp where I gave my heart to Christ, and for the first time in my life, felt called into ministry and started going all in with that. But at the same time, my mom had gotten sick. She had a rare nerve disease in her legs, ended up in bed. And so I went from having a normal family life to no family life and no boundaries. And as a result of that, started hanging out with the wrong crowd, got into drugs, and I ended up just completely giving up on life, said I would never amount to anything. I had to go to summer school every single year just to get to the next grade. And I partied every year, and I just thought, this is the life. I ended up becoming a drug dealer. My mom had a pill called OxyContin, which is synthetic heroin, and I made money from that, which was great. At least it was, yeah. I thought it was great. And then, just partied all throughout high school. And senior year of high school, my mom ended up dying, and through that, God came back into my life in a really crazy way. And I met my wife, Laura, and I met her because I went to a Bible study. And I went to this Bible study that was led by a mom. It was actually my wife's mom. 150 kids would go to this each week. And what I didn't realize, well, two things happened just for fun. One, I left that night and that was the first night I met my wife. And I actually went to my high school friends and I said, guys, I just met the woman of my dreams. I'm going to marry that girl. So I did call my shot. It took me 10 years to get her.
You have a vision, bro.
But I had a vision, yeah, and I was committed to it. But when I left that night, what I didn't know was she told her mom that's one of the most influential leaders in our high school. And if he ever got intentional with his life, he could change the world. First person, again, multiple people were the first people in my life to see potential in me. I didn't know she told her mom that. So her mom started investing in me as a result. I also had a principal call me and a friend down to the office, and he looked us square in the eyes. He said, guys, you're leaders, and you can either use your influence for good or for bad, but you're using it for bad. I challenge you to do something good with it.
Wow.
We walked away and laughed and just said, can you believe he thinks we're leaders? And so... but again, as a result of going to the Bible study, I got connected with the church, and that's where I met Larry and Betancourt. And I told you, he gave me my first leadership CD, poured leadership into me. And literally, I didn't know what a leader was. I had no skills whatsoever. In fact, the only reason I didn't even know what an internship was when I started interning at the church. I just thought it was going to impress Laura, which it didn't. And so I'm doing this internship for free, and the only job that I got as an intern was washing pitchers in a closet and setting up and tearing down for a youth group. And all the other interns got all these cool jobs. They got to make graphics, they got to MC, they got to speak, and I'm sitting there in a closet, and, you know, I'm not that bright. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I'm working for free. This is absolutely worthless. I ended up quitting the internship. And but I was so passive aggressive, I waited till Larry left for a sabbatical or a vacation. He hadn't been on vacation for 3 years. He leaves. The minute he gets on the plane, I send him an email saying, I quit.
No.
He emails me back, or he may have called me, and he said, Doug, you're not quitting. If you're going to quit, you're going to be a man and quit to my face. And so until I get back, just shut up and show up and keep working. And again, I'm a person of faith, so this goes more into this, but he hooked me up with a leader, and this leader said, have you actually prayed about quitting? And I said, no. And he said, why don't you pray about it and give God one more shot? And again, this is spiritual, but this is my experience, and I wouldn't be here if this didn't happen. I opened my Bible the next day, and I said, God, if you don't speak to me, I'm leaving. I'm going back to dealing drugs and doing nothing with my life. This is stupid. I'm not washing pictures for the rest of my life. I ended up reading this verse in Scripture that basically said, you are my servant. It says Israel, but I took it as me. You are my servant. You'll bring me great glory. And that's how I felt. I felt like I had purpose for the first time in my life and that I could do something. But then it said, yet I've spent all my strength for nothing, and everything I do is worthless. And I'm like, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm not doing anything of worth. And then it said, the next verse changed my life. It said, yet I will leave my reward in the Lord's hand. And for me, that shifted everything, because I was looking to Larry to give me opportunity. I was looking for this person and this leader to give me opportunity. And that's the first time in my life where I felt like God spoke, hey, you just give me everything you got. If you'll be faithful and do the best you can washing pitchers, I'll bring your vision to pass. I'll promote you in due season. You just trust me for that.
Yeah.
So I shut up. I started washing pitchers. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the year, Larry started giving me more responsibility, opportunities to speak. I ended up going to college, which I didn't think I would. My father-in-law became a great mentor in my life. And yeah, that was really the start of my leadership journey. It's very much the journey of an underdog. After college, I ended up in youth ministry, and I would just say that I've continually been positioned under great leaders who helped me go to the next level in my life.
Yeah, and I think there's something, like a common theme that I see throughout all the people I've been interviewing, and it's the power of mentorship.
Mm.
You know, Greg, on our last podcast, he talked about somebody investing in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your model is all about with L3 Leadership, the power of together, the power of sitting at the table. How do you think that transformed your life, the power of mentorship, and how are you paying it forward?
Yeah, so it's been everything. I would say if you're a leader, two things. One, if you're a leader listening to this, never underestimate the power of encouragement. You may not mentor someone one-on-one on a weekly basis, but you have no idea, just like my assistant principal had no idea, you even just looking someone in the eye and telling them you have leadership potential, you could do something great with your life if you'll just be intentional, that could change everything. So never underestimate the power of encouragement, even if you're not in an intentional mentoring process. Two is, for whatever reason, I had two men, Larry and my father-in-law, pour into me, and they saw potential and invest in me. If you are ever lucky enough to have men come into your life and spend a long period of time with you and invest in you, never take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, I would encourage you to look for it. And I have a whole process I'd be happy to share if you want to go into it on how to get mentors. But I think I learned the power of intentionality in relationships through Larry. Larry would bring in leaders from the community to speak to us. And he would say, listen, anytime you meet a great leader, hear from a great leader, ask them out to coffee and ask them to mentor you. But here's what I'll tell you. And he gave us a whole process. He said, show up early, show up on time, shake their hand, come with a list of questions. Don't come and say, I don't know what I want to talk about. I just thought it'd be cool to spend time with you. Be intentional.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. I did that for months and months, for 10 years. And actually, that's how we started the podcast, was all my peers started saying, wow, you get to spend time with Zach Del Turco. I wish I could.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, have you ever asked? But so I just thought, what if I record my conversations with leaders? So I would say on the mentoring side, you have to be intentional. Just, and I would encourage you, if you don't know where to start, just think about men or women that you look up to and admire, and then just be willing to ask them out and let God do the rest.
Yeah.
See where it takes you.
And I think it's so cool because, you know, behind the scenes, talk about the picture of you cleaning, right? You're cleaning that, all those containers. And behind the scenes, that's what you're doing. And for so long, that's what you were doing when it came to your podcast and interviewing people behind the scenes. And now that you're in the forefront in all of Pittsburgh, I think your presence is incredible. I think it's bigger than Pittsburgh. But, you know, nobody saw those years behind the scene. All they see is, oh my gosh, Doug Smith, he's doing this. He's doing L3 Leadership. He's doing L3 One Day. He's working at a nonprofit, raising millions of dollars for homeless people. Talk about that a little bit, because I think some people, going back to that initial thing with Laura, some people are so scared to take that first step. What was it for you that kept you going? So you took that first step. We're encouraging you, take your first step. What was the thing that kept you going? When did you realize your why? I guess that's my question. When did you realize, oh my gosh, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life?
I mean, as far as when I realized it, this may sound kind of crazy, but the first time I listened to that John Maxwell CD, I said, I want to do this for people. I want to do it for the rest of my life. So I would say, as far as knowing I want to add value to leaders and multiply and add value to leaders, I knew that from an early age. How that would come to play, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this goes back to the power of relationships. I think how you stay the course and how you launch is you surround yourself with great people. You know, when I was in those learning lunches with leaders, I would share my vision and just say, one day I want to do this. What do you think? And I would ask them questions about, hey, how did your purpose unroll? And, you know, this is coming to mind just now. I remember I was spending time with Ed Glover, who's the founder of Urban Impact. And you know, I have all these dreams in my heart. I'm like, how is this going to happen? He said, Doug, you're probably already doing what you're ultimately going to be doing, just not at the level you're going to be doing it. And I thought about it. It's like, okay, I'm interviewing leaders. I'm speaking places. You know, they're small and they're free opportunities. But, you know, it's been probably 10 years since that conversation, but I look at it and he's right. And I'm doing things at a higher level now, but I'm really just doing the things I started doing when no one was watching. And I believe the same thing will be true in 10 years, right? 10 years from now, I'll probably be doing things at an even higher level, but it's because I was faithful during this time. So surrounding yourself with the right people. I mean, even you know, the fact that 15 people showed up that night on Mount Washington. And to be honest with you, I was discouraged. You know, I was hoping the whole mountain would be filled. but there was 15 people. My father-in-law came in and put his arm around me. And he said, Doug, you're going to look back and laugh at this moment. You're going to look back and smile and say, do you remember when there was only 15 people? And, you know, last year when we had 220 people at our first leadership conference.
Which was incredible again.
Yeah, it was great to look back. I remember our first breakfast. You came to me and you handed me a check and said, I believe in your vision. I want to invest in it. I believe in you. Let's go. You were the first person to ever invest in L3 leadership, ever. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And so surround yourself with the right people. That's why one of our values is community, and leaders should never do life alone. And so if you're not connecting with leaders, if you're not in a mastermind group, you're missing a huge opportunity for growth and a huge opportunity to gain the courage and confidence you need to launch whatever's in your heart.
Yeah, what are some stories for people who are watching? I think we're kind of narrowing on what we're talking about. That's developing leaders, the power of your circle and mentorship. Give us a couple testimonies of people who were in your group and kind of their trajectory right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I would say the interesting thing, and this shows, I guess, a little bit of my heart. But for me, I think when I started L3, and even I think when people come to L3, they think, I want to grow my business. I want to accomplish these goals. I want to grow my career. But it's funny to me how fast things get personal, right? I always thought that that would be the focus. But while that remains a focus for most people for growth, it starts to turn into, like, how do I raise a great family? How do I balance work and life? And my favorite L3 story of all time is actually Greg Fuhr, who you've had on this podcast. Yeah. Him and his wife were trying to adopt a baby for years. They couldn't. They had multiple adoptions fall through. And literally, just as being in our mastermind group, he meets another member of our mastermind group who, by the way, ends up being his accountability partner, who, by the way, is they meet each week and challenge each other, and they've been able to accomplish more because of that relationship than they ever could in business. But that other guy just so happened to be in a small group at his church who a member of that small group, sister, was putting a baby up for an adoption. And so long story short, that baby ended up being the baby that they adopted. Wow. And so that's the story of our L3 baby, right? Right, our first L3 baby. And he was wearing an L3 leadership shirt the day he got her.
Wow.
And for me, that's what it's all about. And so I always tell people that you're one relationship away from changing your destiny. And the change of your destiny, it may be growing a business, it may be launching a business, it may be achieving a goal, it may be adopting a baby, it may be bettering your marriage. I'm just surprised how much intentionality with goals spills over into every area of life. And so that's my favorite part of L3 is you never know what's going to happen when you start connecting and developing leaders intentionally.
Yeah, and I want to ask you a question because I think balance is a big idea for a lot of people, a lot of leaders. How do I find balance? You know, questions people put on Google, like how do I have work-life balance? And with you're talking about one of your most successful stories was based around family. A successful leader in the Pittsburgh region where he joined this mastermind group, and really was the biggest accomplishment I think up to this point is he adopted his kid.
And while we're on that, just so in case people are like, well, has it helped his business? He quit his job and launched his business as a result of our mastermind group, giving him the courage and confidence. So sorry.
No, that's good. And my question is, I mean, you're doing this, right? You're doing L3 leadership, but you also have a full-time job and you also have two kids. So how do you find that definition of balance, or what is your thoughts on that definition of balance, work-life balance?
Yep. I don't think there's any such thing. I don't think there's no balance. And as soon as you get to a point where you feel like something's balanced, something's going to shift and throw you out of balance.
Yeah.
And so the way Laura and I approach this, Laura's my wife, is this is so cliche, but the quote that always comes to mind is actually out of an Eminem song. Eminem said, I'm not a rapper, I'm an adapter. I can adjust.
Oh, come on.
And that's how I view my life. That's how I think Laura and I thrive is, we don't we don't set ourselves into this little box and say this is the way it is and always has to be. We're adapters. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the best example in the last year is when I took this new role at Light of Life last July. It very quickly, my life was out of balance. I just had another baby. I now had this a lot more responsibility at Light of Life, our nonprofit. We just had our L3 one-day conference, so L3 was thriving. And last fall, I got underwater where I felt like I was drowning. I felt like Light of Life was suffering. I felt like L3 was suffering. Mm-hmm. I felt like my family was suffering. And so Laura and I just said, time out, time out. Like, a season has changed. We were in a good place, but now we're out of balance again. So what do we need to do to readjust and make sure that we feel balanced in this new season? Mm-hmm. And we made significant changes for this season in our life, and it's worked now.
Wow.
But we're not so boxed in that it's like, okay, this is going to work when we have three kids. Mm-hmm. We realize that we're just always going to have to be adapting. Yeah. And so I think when you have that mindset of, hey, there's never going to be balance, we always have to be adapting, it sets you at ease. Because there's going to be seasons where you have to go all in at work, but then there's going to be seasons where you can go all in with family and vice versa.
So. Who ever thought Eminem would have so profound words would stick to you to this day?
I shouldn't say this, but I love Eminem. I may listen to him once in a while when I work out. Yeah.
I love Eminem too. But, you know, we're talking about your business. We're talking about your family. We're talking about your Light of Life, your nonprofit work. What would you say you're most proud of out of all three of those?
Those are my choices.
Yeah, if you only have three.
Yeah, my family. I mean, I couldn't do anything without my family, my wife. I wouldn't. Laura. So I think what's great about Laura is Laura and I started dating when all I was a ball of potential, and Laura never knew if that potential would develop. That's probably why it took her 10 years to say yes to me. But having a wife that, one, has seen you when you were doing absolutely nothing with your life, and has watched you grow and helped you grow and believed in you all along the way, to know that I have that bedrock at home enables me to grow at Light of Life, enables me to grow at L3. To know that when there's seasons where I'm going to have to give more at work than at home, and I have to figure out that balance, and Lara's willing to work it out, and Lara's just as committed to personal growth. Had I not married the woman I married and had a family, I don't know where I would be, and I don't know if either of these would happen. So I would say that's the core and the foundation that enabled the other two.
What would you say, kind of our last question, is what would you say to leaders who are just starting out? So say they're in high school or they're in college, or they never really saw themselves as leaders and they're older now. Like, what are some things you would say to those people?
Yeah.
When it comes to their leadership journey?
Yeah, so this is something I tell myself all the time, and it's actually something that John Maxwell said, but I think it's so critical. If you are like me and you don't even know you have gifts and talents and or anything, and you're listening to this, I would tell you, you have more potential than you could ever imagine. There's gifts inside of you that you don't even know are in you. And if you'll just start being intentional with your life and start surrounding yourself with the right people, mm-hmm. you will be shocked at what can happen in your life 5, 10, 15 years from now if you'll just be consistent day in and day out, day in and day out. So start being intentional. You have the potential. You have everything you need inside of you to do what's in your heart. And so start dreaming big. So that would be my advice there. If you start off in your leadership journey and you're in the beginning, and I still consider myself there, mm-hmm. I would say, John Maxwell said this and it was so helpful. He said, listen, in the beginning of your leadership journey, you're not as bad as people think. Right? You're not as bad as people think. And he said, aren't there days where you just want to tell the leaders around you, like, listen, I know I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not that bad. But he said, and this is a game changer, he said, but if you'll do things right in life, in the end, you're not as good as people think you are. And somewhere in between there is where you should live. And so I would just encourage you, leader, listen, there's times in my journey right now where it's like, why can't I just go work at like Home Depot or like a gas station? Because, man, this is tough. The leadership is tough. Mm-hmm. It's not, leadership looks sexy on a TED Talk stage, but it doesn't look sexy in the day-to-day. It's tough. And so I would just say you're not as bad and you're not doing as bad as you think you are. And if you'll do things right, in the end, you're not going to be as good as people think you are. And again, just be intentional every day and watch where the journey takes you. I think you'll be shocked.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you my biggest takeaway of this podcast, and then I want to act on it, right? So my biggest takeaway on this podcast was use your words to encourage people. Mm-hmm. Like, that was one thing that stood out to me with that example of that just encouraging somebody, your principal teacher looking at you and said, hey, you're a leader. That's words of encouragement. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you. I know I'm a little bit younger than you, but I see the leader you are today, and I see where you're going to be, and I think you're going to look back on your leadership journey to this point in the next 5 years. You're going to look back and you're going to be like, wow, like God has done incredible things, and he's going to put you even more on the map than where you are right now. So this is for me and you, but 5 years down the road, when we look back and see this, I think you're going to have a national presence of the go-to leader of this generation. So thank you so much for being on the Center for Victory podcast. I consider you a mentor, a leader who speaks into my life, but also a friend. And thank you so much for investing in our listeners. I know we have a lot of young people that listen to this podcast who are still in college and high school, but we also have CEOs and business leaders that, you know, maybe they're focused on their work, but they're not focused on, say, their families or the people they surround themselves with. So thank you so much, Doug. I greatly appreciate it. Any last thoughts, any last words?
Yeah, Zach, I just want to thank you. And it's been an awesome honor to watch you grow and develop. I mean, I still remember you when you were in high school with your long hair playing baseball and had no clue what you'd do with your life. To see you take your life and to be intentional and surround yourself with the right people and grow and develop. And, man, even go through tough seasons where it's either like, hey, I'm going to jump to the next level or I'm going to sink. Like, you've continued to jump. Mm-hmm. And if your key takeaway is encouragement, I mean, that's just who you are. It's who your nature is. And when I think about the people that spoke into my life and when I think about what you're doing in Riot, you're doing for others and through Riot what others did for me. And I can't wait to see how many young leaders, just like myself, have their lives totally transformed and live a life that they never thought possible all because you had the courage to start what you're doing through Riot and your encouragement. So I just want to say, love what you're doing. If you're listening to this and you're not connected with Riot and Center for Victory, please connect with them. They're unbelievable. And man, I just can't wait to see what God does in your life in the next 20, 30 years.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Yep.
All right, please.